Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, today's show, if you'd like to be on it, we've been so busy the last few weeks, so much going on, and we haven't had time for many calls. So this is the time, if you'd like to talk about, well, our battle over the Republican pro-abortion judges that we have filled the federal judiciary with, if you'd like to talk about that. We had Flip Benham of Operation Save America on the show Friday, and he also preached at church, at Denver Bible Church, on Sunday. We had a great time with him, and so they're coming out here in July. We're excited about that. I've had some programs we've aired so that you can hear on Denver Radio, interviews I've done with WorldNet Daily's Joseph Farah, an interview, a debate with Stu Epperson's audience on Truth Talk Live. That was one of my favorite shows of the year so far. We did that on Thursday, and you could listen to it on KGov. And we're going to play the rest of that debate, that show, later in the week. So if you heard the first half and you want to hear the rest of it, tune in later in the week. And last night, I had a debate at Denver Bible Church with a retired professor from CU up in Boulder. He taught philosophy for 32 years. And for the last 5 years, he's been a volunteer at Planned Parenthood. And what an interesting time we had debating him on abortion. You know, a philosophy professor and a Planned Parenthood activist, an escort. We call them death escorts. They help the women drive into the parking lot, and they try to keep the women from hearing our pleas, our offers for help. We tell the women there are people who will love you with your baby. You don't have to kill your baby to have people love you and care about you. And we had that debate, and I'll tell you a bit more about that debate, but it was really interesting. And we're trying to decide how to do that, how to use it. We recorded it, and we're not sure if we're going to air it or not. Jim Frank is the name of the retired professor. And you could tell he's used to lecturing, and he kept walking away from his microphone, but we got most of it on tape. So we're deciding whether we'll air it for you or not. It was definitely worthwhile. It was powerful. I gave a challenge to him and a separate challenge to his wife who was there, Mrs. Frank. At any rate, we'll tell you more about that. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-ENYART. 1-800-836-9278. Jane Fonda is quoted in the New York Post, and it's an interview partly about her supposed conversion to Christianity. Remember, she's one of the feminist leaders. She committed treason against the United States by taking the side of our enemy during the Vietnam War. And sitting on, she went to the Hanoi Hilton and was used basically to mock our prisoners of war who were being tortured, and lied to the world and implied that they were being well-treated. And she was a leader in the feminist movement in America for a couple decades or more. And then she married Ted Turner, who she's now divorced from. But when she did, it's so funny what she said. She said, "I was never happy until I married Ted," which is the ultimate antithesis of a feminist. And then she supposedly became a Christian through her chauffeur, a chauffeur in her limousine. And he went to a Southern Black church, which most likely means it's a church that supports the Democratic Party, supports pro-choice, doesn't really care about abortion, things like that. And so, anyway, in this New York Post article, Liz Smith interviews Jane Fonda, And she says, Jane, many people are interested in your having become a Christian after being an agnostic most of your life. What kind of church do you go to in Atlanta? And Jane Fonda says, I am searching for one, but have not found one yet. And Liz, I want to make it clear, I am a feminist Christian. That's a Christian who believes in killing her own children. That's what she means by that. Liz Smith of the New York Post says, so maybe you see Christianity in a broader sense than the fundamentalist? Jane Fonda answers, I believe people have different ways of approaching the Bible. She called it the Word. For me, it's a metaphor written by a people a long time after Christ died. I wonder if she has any idea how long. And interpreted by specific groups. Wow, that's pretty penetrating. I read the Gospels that are not included in the Bible. So she reads fraudulent scriptures is what she's saying. These make me feel good. These make me feel good about calling myself a Christian. And then she objects to policymakers who, quote, say they are Christians, unquote. So, you know, these liberal Christians, they're against judgmental people being judgmental. And that's exactly what they are, of course. And so Liz Smith of the New York Post says, it seems like Jesus surrounded himself with publicans and sinners. Or should I say, Republicans and sinners. And I thought that's a crack up because I've been saying that on the air for 14 years. I pronounce it the Republican Party. A little pause there. Between the Republican Party. Like a repeat, right? Repeat in the Republican Party because we had the Publicans. We saw that deal 2,000 years ago and they didn't do all that well. And now we figured let's try it again. We got the Republicans and the Democrats. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Westminster, Colorado, Clifton, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to call and talk about, first of all, kind of vent a little bit. I was just thinking the other day about how the partial birth abortion ban,
yeah,
was struck down in several states, particularly Nebraska.
Well, it's on hold, right?
Yeah.
While it's there's a stay while it's being considered nationwide. So, yeah, Clifton.
Yes.
Even that ban itself, it doesn't actually save any babies.
Right. Yeah.
But what it does do is it shows us, you know, who the biggest enemies are. For example, Rudy Giuliani, one of the darlings of the Salem Rudy Network.
Yes.
Rudy Giuliani not only is pro-abortion, but he's so radically supportive of killing unborn children that he even supports partial birth abortion, which is killing late-term babies when they're almost completely delivered from their mother's womb and they're almost completely out of the birth canal. The only thing left in the mom is the head. And the abortionist stops, and he puts basically a knife, a scissors, in the back of the baby's neck up into his skull and scrambles his brains, sucks out the baby's brains, and kills the baby. And Rudy Giuliani is even supports that, which for the most wicked person, they should be able to look at that and say, boy, that's vile.
I agree.
Yeah.
And also, if we can't even ban that type of procedure, nothing can be banned. I mean, that's just hideous of all.
It's somewhat foolish of us to try to ban that procedure. I mean, it's been mostly a waste of 10 years of Christian political effort, most of a decade. Would you agree with that?
Reluctantly, yes. I've come to realize that incrementalism is bad deal.
Well, I'm not talking about incrementalism. I think Christians confuse issues. I'm talking because let's say you could only stop abortion in Colorado and you could stop it completely. Wouldn't that be worth doing?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's incrementalism. If you could only save one baby, it'd be worth doing. So Christians who realize that the Republican pro-life strategy has been a complete failure.
Uh-huh.
They lump that failure together with something called incrementalism, and they become enemies of trying to stop some abortion. And I think that's unnecessary, and it makes us try to defend a position that's indefensible. And so the bottom line is, you can do whatever. You could be creative. You could fight. You could try to stop the killing of unborn children, but you should never do things that are wicked or evil so that good might come of it.
Right.
And you should try to avoid doing things that are stupid.
Like shooting an abortionist?
Well, that's one issue. I would say that's immoral.
Yeah, that's true.
But things that are stupid would be like if you lived in Germany and you fought for 10 years, the good people fought to outlaw Zyklon A.
Okay.
When the Germans used Zyklon B to, you know, poison hundreds of thousands of Jews and others. And so what would be the point of trying to outlaw Zyklon A? Looking back, it'd be absurd.
Another thing that I thought about was how we've already outlawed abortion in every state in the union, but of course Roe struck that down in each state.
Well, Cliff, I'm just a little worried somebody in the audience doesn't get the point. Just let me bring it to a conclusion.
Okay.
Of Zyklon A, it's a poison. You kill people with it. You outlaw that. And the people who want to kill the innocent, they just use a different poison, Zyklon B. And so we use most of a decade, and we use up an enormous amount of political capital, pro-life, conservative, Republican political capital, and we outlaw partial birth abortion, and the abortionist just uses a different technique.
Like Dr. Hearn up in – or not Dr. Hearn. He's not even Dr.
Warren Hearn, the abortionist in Boulder.
Right.
Yeah, you could kill a baby in, you know, practically an infinite number of ways, and there are all kinds of techniques that have been established for killing babies in their late term. So we spend a decade saying we're going to outlaw this one particular technique, and then we pat ourselves on the back like we accomplished something great.
And then the courts went ahead and put it on hold anyway.
Yeah, exactly right.
It didn't even come to see the fruition of anything there.
Yeah, but even if it does, it will be reasonably irrelevant. That's
right.
The what the courts have done, it to me, is irrelevant because they're Republican judges. And of course, as a general rule, Republican judges are going to uphold abortion. They're pro-choice.
Right.
The Republican Party has nominated 58% of the federal judiciary, and what we have done is we have packed the federal judiciary with pro-choice Republican judges.
Yeah, and I had an instance where I went to trial to testify on behalf of Ken Scott in city court one time, Denver.
All right. And real quick, Cliff, then I'm going to go.
And my point about this is the prosecutor asked me, "Mr. Powell, is abortion legal?" And I said, "No, it's not." And he said, "I remind you that you're on on the stand. You're under oath." You
right.
know? And I said, "What do you mean by statute or by case law? Because by statute, it's still on the books that abortion is outlawed in Colorado and all the other 49 states. It's just that one case has made it unenforceable."
All right. Well, Clifton, thank you very much for calling in.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
I appreciate that. Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Have a little bit of a news story here from Newsmax.com. At least a dozen Clinton scandal witnesses, including Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones, Elizabeth Ward Grayson, and Juanita Broderick, were targeted by audits, IRS audits, during the 1990s. Conservative groups critical of the Clinton administration were also audited, including the Christian Coalition, Citizens for a Sound Economy, the Freedom Alliance, the Heritage Foundation, the NRA, and others. Most of the suspicious audits took place when the IRS was run by Margaret Milner Richardson, a longtime friend of Senator Hillary Clinton, from their days together at Yale Law School. Just a recent blurb on Newsmax.com, and we notice, especially whenever Juanita Broderick is mentioned, she is the campaign supporter who was raped by Bill Clinton back when he was running for governor of Arkansas when he was the attorney general of the state. And that, ever since that crime occurred, now that's a long time ago, but what that means is we're all that much closer to Judgment Day. And wouldn't it be interesting on Judgment Day when we are judging? For those of you who are listening to the show right now, if you're not a Christian, well, on Judgment Day, you will be judged. And your sins will be exposed. There are those of your sins that people already know the things you've done, and those things that are not known, that are secret, that Jesus Christ says, the Apostle Paul tells us, the Bible teaches that all these things done in secret will be proclaimed from the housetops, that everyone will know how we've hurt one another. And Jesus Christ paid the penalty. He paid the debt due because of our crimes and because of our sins. So if you ask him to forgive you, then he will, and you will be forgiven. And he has the standing to forgive you because he paid the penalty for your sin by being crucified and being killed. Right? We talk about sinners in the hands of a righteous God. And the crucifixion, we saw God in the hands of wicked sinners. What men would do to God given the opportunity. What they did to Jesus Christ. The only man who ever lived a completely innocent and righteous and loving life. And that's what they did to him. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. But so if you're not a believer and you're listening, you could become a Christian. You could get saved. That's what salvation is all about, where God forgives you of your sin and gives you eternal life. And for those who don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, well, God gives you what you want also, and you get to live forever without God. Right? Some people wonder, is there such a thing as eternal hell? Eternal separation from God. And yeah, the deity of Christ is one of the strongest pieces of evidence for the eternity of hell. Because if hell was not eternal, you know, Solomon wrote, you can find it in the Bible, that God put eternity in our hearts. When he made us eternal creatures. God put eternity in our hearts. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the debt was so extraordinary that God would have to sacrifice his own son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, so that he would be able to forgive those who repent. Because you can't, when people do wrong, you can't just make believe they didn't do wrong. Adam and Eve sinned. If God could have erased them, he would have. If he could have expunged them, just wiped them out, as though they had never existed, he would have done it. Because he loves his son so much that he would not sacrifice his only son if there was another way to deal with the rebellion that came into the human race. And so because God loves us, he didn't want to leave us without a hope of redemption. And because our debt was an eternal debt, eternal separation from God, God couldn't sacrifice just an animal and let the animal pay for our sin. It wasn't that valuable. God couldn't create an angel like Michael or Gabriel and have them sacrifice themselves for our sin because it wouldn't pay for the sin of the world. But because hell is forever eternal separation from God, that is such an extraordinary debt that was owed. The only thing that God could find that would be sufficient to pay that debt was himself, his own life. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father gave his son to the world, and his son willingly suffered, willingly. He wasn't forced, he wasn't compelled, but love is freely given. Otherwise, it's not love. It'd be something else. And the son willingly submitted to the Father, and he freely gave of himself. So if you're listening to this, if you're an unbeliever and you don't want Jesus Christ, then God will give you what you want, and you could live forever without him. If you're a believer, then you'll get to live forever with all the rest of those who love God and have humbled themselves and said to one another and to our Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So we'll all live together, have a great time. But before we start that stage of eternity, there's going to be the great white throne judgment where all the dead, all the wicked through history will be resurrected to the judgment of the last day. And who's going to judge on judgment day? Who will judge? Who will it be? Who will be judging Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton? Well, one of the people who will judge is the nurse. Remember the nurse who found her friend Juanita Broderick sobbing with her face, all her lips swollen up and bitten, her face all like she went through a fight. And Juanita Broderick is crying to Norma Rogers, saying that she was just raped by Bill Clinton. And so when that happens, we will be there. Not only will we be there, but we will be judging Bill Clinton. Christians will. Not Muslims, not Hindus. They are people who have set themselves up in opposition against God. They'd rather worship the creature rather than the creator. They deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. He wrote, do you not know that we will judge the angels, meaning those in the body of Christ, Christians? Do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you not know that we will judge the world? That is so interesting. And he wrote that to the Corinthians. And who was it? He wrote to Timothy. He said, some men's sins precede them to judgment day, and those of other men follow. Now, what does that mean? Well, some people like Bill Clinton, we know that he raped Juanita Broderick. I mean, the editors of the Wall Street Journal published an editorial column saying that by one of their own editors, Dorothy Rabinowitz, not saying that it is alleged that Bill Clinton raped Juanita Broderick. They printed that when you look at the evidence and you speak to the witnesses, you realize that this rape was an event that in fact took place. That's how strong they put it. And they were right, of course. And you could listen to our worldwide exclusive interview with the nurse, Norma Rogers, who found Juanita sobbing and crying just moments after she was raped. And that's on our website at KGov, KGOV.com. Just go to KGov, click our Google search there, and search the KGov archives, and you could listen to that interview. But we will be judging. We will be judging Bill and Hillary Clinton. Jim Frank, who debated me at Denver Bible Church last night, and his wife. Unless they repent, we will be judging them. I said during the debate, it's recorded. Some of you might end up hearing it, depending what we do with it. I said, you know, in my experience, pro-lifers are very well informed about the abortion issue, and those who are activists who work in the pro-abortion movement for years, they know very little about abortion. And so I asked Jim Frank, what was partial birth abortion? Could you explain it? What is it? He had no idea. He had no idea what it was. His wife obviously had no idea because she got in on the question and answers part. She obviously had no idea what partial birth abortion was. And he was, one thing we could say for Jim Frank, he was reasonably horrified by the description of what it was. And he's a big supporter of Hillary Clinton and Planned Parenthood. And I told him that, well, Hillary and Planned Parenthood, they support partial birth abortion. And they think it should be legal to kill any child for any reason with that technique or any other technique. And he said he had a hard time believing that. So I said, well, Jim Frank, retired CU professor from Boulder, If you find it, would you investigate this week, look into it and find out if I'm truthfully describing what partial birth abortion is? And then if you find out that Hillary Clinton and Planned Parenthood supports that, something you say is morally reprehensible, would you then condemn them? Would you condemn them if you find out that I'm honestly representing their position and what partial birth abortion is? And he said yes, he would. Now we'll have to find out, right? Love hopes all things. So I hope he does. I hope he does, because I was correctly representing Hillary Clinton and Planned Parenthood and describing what a partial birth abortion is. So we'll see what he does. And then his wife spoke up in the Q&A part, and she said, well, the reason that Bill Clinton vetoed the partial birth abortion ban was because there was no exception for the life of the mother. And I got to tell her what happened with Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh when they spoke after Columbine to Bill and Hillary just 3 feet apart. And Brian said, Mr. President, when you vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, you became responsible for the murder of children far more violent than what happened to my son, Danny, and our children here at Columbine. And Hillary piped up with her, well, there's no exception for the life of the mother. And Lisa Rohrbaugh said, I'm a registered nurse. There's no conceivable medical condition in which you have to save the mother by delivering the baby and halfway with the baby, halfway out, stop to kill the baby and then remove the baby. There's no conceivable medical condition. And I said to Mrs. Frank, isn't it obvious that you've been lied to by Hillary Clinton? What, if a woman has preeclampsia, her body is shutting down because of the pregnancy, and you have to quickly remove the baby, you do a C-section, you do whatever, you remove the baby, and you try to save the baby and the mother. You don't take the baby half out and then stop while the mother's almost dying and take a few minutes and kill the baby and then take the rest of the baby out. You don't do that to save the life of the mother. You do that because you want to kill the baby. And you've been lied to, and millions of people who vote Democratic, millions of them, millions who say they're pro-choice, they believe that ignorant lie, even though it's a lie on the face of it. You know why they believe it? What does the Bible say? When you hate God, you love death. And they will side with killing the baby time and time again. So there's a battle that we're under. And here in July in Denver, this is going to be the place where the focus of the battle will be, right here, July 16th to the 23rd. We need you to come on out. And if you can, if you live in Denver, come and visit us at Denver Bible Church Sunday morning for Sunday school, adult Sunday school, worship service. Sunday night, we're in the book of Acts. We're having a great time. And check out our website, kgov.com. If you'd like to read the plot, that's our overview of the whole Bible, a 330-page manuscript I wrote. I think you'll love it. We always offer a money-back guarantee. If you don't like to read as much as you like to listen, just get the plot on audio tape or MP3 CD. You'll love it. And then the Tree album we have about living the Christian life. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Give them a call, 431-5653. That's 303-431-5653.